All right, let's bang out a couple more on these as we are responding to this NCAA injunction that was granted. And now, those 5th years that we're going to come back and play can't come back and play. And, you know, it's hard to follow. And I'm at this point, Gator, Saturdays have not been ruined for me. I don't want that ever to happen. But trying to follow all the rule changes and, you know, a lot is being asked of the fan of college athletics. And, you know, if you don't like it, that's certainly your right. I'm trying to focus on what's important, and I still enjoy the hell out of the games.
Yeah, I enjoy watching games once they're there, but the whole process leading up to it, and even in the first couple of weeks, it's tough because it's the rule changes are one thing, but the roster changes are the other. It's just there's so much turnover. It's really difficult to follow along. And because the money has gotten so much, and I'm not talking about NIL, I'm talking about for coaches, it's been cutthroat there where guys get like 2 years or a year to prove yourself, get it done, or you're going to be fired. And that's not how it used to be. And it just, you had time to build something, and now you have no time to build anything. And part of that's awesome, and part of it sucks. The awesome part is a school like Indiana can hire Kurt Cignetti. He can bring on, you know, a bunch of guys that nobody had ever heard of, bring them in through the transfer portal and contend for a national championship and then win a national championship the second year at Indiana. Mm-hmm. The thought that Indiana is a college football power is still hard for me to process and digest. You know, I think it's kind of awesome, but at the same time, it's also kind of like unfathomable. And it goes against everything that I've known since being a college football fan. And this is how radically things have changed within the last 5 years.
Let's go to Kurt. You're on 97.1. Hello, Kurt.
Hey, Doug. Hey, Gator. Thanks for having me on.
Sure.
First and foremost, listen on 98.7 in Grand Rapids. I'm a Detroit to Grand Rapids transplant. Can't thank you guys enough for bringing 97.1 to take it over.
That's cool.
To the west side of the state. But
thank you for listening.
Yeah, no problem. You know, I'm a MSU alum, and I know that, Doug, you were worried about losing the audience. I don't think you're losing the audience. I think there's a ton of college football fans that care, especially if they're grads of their school.
Yeah, they care about the rulings, though. They care about all the legalese.
I feel like we care about the progress that our teams make. And especially with a roster changeover, you see so much change year to year. Mm-hmm. Especially, I'll use my alma mater as an example. And it degrades what you used to know to the point that Gator was making. Like, you saw your school try to compete and grow and develop players. And that's absolutely been lost with the rulings that have been made over the last 5 to 6 years by the NCAA, the Big Ten. I feel like what's needed is more regulation of what the athletes know they're guaranteed with coming into a, let's call it a 5-year scholarship, because I do think that they need 5 years now so that they can try and get to that master's level and still be able to compete on the athletics side of things. But what's been more disappointing to me is how much it's developed the parity to the point that you guys have made. There is now a level of, hey, you know what? Northwestern can compete if they decide that they're going to get a... Yeah, it absolutely does. It used to be that you would expect Ohio State, Michigan State... Yeah, exactly.
you know, you're honest about it, and I appreciate that, but... You know, the fact is, that's interesting that's what bothers him.
Oh, I'll tell you what, with NIL, the way that things are working, Northwestern could be the next sleeping giant. I mean, do they have any alumni?
Yeah.
That are wealthy?
Yeah, they have 5 of the highest paid. Now it's because of the new stadium, got funded by some pretty rich people. And there's things that I've thought about. The one thing I've thought about is basketball programs that don't have to split NIL money with football.
Mm-hmm.
Marquette, St. Louis, Duquesne, Gonzaga. Like, Gonzaga's already good, but those schools, they don't have to give any money to football. Basketball programs could explode. Norm is next. Hi, Norm.
Hey, Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, yes, go ahead, Norm.
Gator, Doug, how's it going, man? Blessing. Thank you for having me on the show.
Sure.
Big fan. First time calling. It's crazy that I'm on here. Sorry, I'm almost nervous.
All
now,
good.
Man.
All
crazy.
Good.
I'm a former athlete as well, collegiate athlete. And
where'd you play?
I just wanted. I came out of Farmington Hills Harrison High School.
Yep.
And I got a 4-ride scholarship to the University of Akron.
And what sport?
From Grand Valley State is where I finished at.
What sport was this?
ACL. This was football.
Okay, gotcha.
Yes, sir. I recall when I was at the University of Akron, our season wasn't, we didn't do too well my redshirt freshman year, and they fired our coaching staff. And a new coaching staff came in, and I remember the head coach was going around meeting all the players, and he walked into our running back's room. I was a running back. He walked into our running back's room, and he said, our focus is to recruit Ohio and Northern Pennsylvania players, you know, and I was from Michigan. You know, that big Ohio-Michigan thing was fairly real for those guys. And I just remember I left, and that's why I came home to Grand Valley, because it was a better situation for me. You know, it worked out better for me. It ended up being worked out better for my situation. The one thing that I love the conversation. I love the topic as well. But the one thing that does bother me is I agree with a couple of the callers. I do think that the players catch the shorter end of the stick. They get a bad bad rep for how college football is going. Where I also think that the coaches should be some type of punish or just some type of energy going towards the coaches as well. And I think about heavy Dusty Mays. I know it's a different sport, but I think about how a lot of those players that may have committed to Michigan or maybe going into their redshirt year or their sophomore year, some of them may have went there just to play for this coach or just to be – this was the main reason that they wanted to go to that school. And then when he can just leave and do whatever he wants, you know, with no flock, with no people talking about him, I just think that that's unfair when the players should be able to do the same.
I guess I'll say this, Norm. I don't think there's as much animosity towards players as there used to be. I think people have grown to be rather accepting. I could be wrong, but my sense is that it's not about the player. It's just that the fan that wants to watch the guy for 4 years and get to know your roster and see the development and the arc, that's gone, but I don't think there's as much animosity towards the players as there used to be. Maybe I'm wrong, but Bill and Shelby. Hi, Bill.
Hey, how you doing today, sir?
What's up?
Well, first of all, let me preface this call by saying I'm an old guy. I hate what they've done to college sports, NIL, now paying the players. That was eventually going to come, but I mean, it's just I dislike everything about it today. But you had a caller, a couple of college ago, and Doug, he said there was like some hate towards the players, and you asked him, well, was it in this time spot? And I don't think he wanted to really call you guys out, or call Gator out, but you know, Gator sent a couple of statements that confirmed that, stating that, he goes, you know, these kids, they got to make big boy decisions or whatever. And then, you know, well, it's a minor league, he said. Well, then pay a minor league salaries. Well, yeah, I have no problem with all of that either. But, I mean, if that's your kid and he knows he's not going to make it in the NFL and he's got a chance to go back to school, wouldn't you be all for it?
I'd be all for him getting an education and getting the degree if he knows he's not going to play at the next level, because that's where his life is going to start is as a former college athlete, period.
But if he's got a chance to go back and make, you know, six figures for a year, that's your kid.
Yeah, if he made his decision to try to chase the dream in the NFL and goes to a training camp, then that's it. That's where your life starts. What's that?
Well, then he realizes he's not good enough. You know,
NFL team took a chance on him, right? Because you don't just go to an NFL camp; you're invited to go to a camp, and you agree to some sort of contract at that point. So you're taking a chance. You're chasing a dream at that point.
Yeah, kids are impressionable. Families are impressionable. People lie to them, agents. But I don't mind there being a safety net. But I also, this is one of those things. This is just so new that I feel like I'd have to sit down. I you know what I'd have to do? I'd have to commission a study and figure out some of the pitfalls of this whole new world. But One more on this. Glenn and Troy. Hi, Glenn.
Hi there. How are you guys doing today?
What's up?
Just calling. I've called in a couple times. My nephew, Luigi Zwicky, kicked from New Mexico last year, and I called in about that a few times. It turns out that this ruling has actually helped him. His special teams coach at New Mexico went to Minnesota, and actually Luke signed for Minnesota this morning for eligible for a fifth year, and he actually went to...
So you heard the ruling. Ravens.
Pardon?
You heard about the ruling now that you can't can't get that fifth year?
Oh, what do you mean?
Okay, there was the NCAA just won their case, and they the guys that were 2022 grads that were going for the fifth year can't play.
Oh, that just recently happened?
This morning, like an hour ago.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Okay, I don't know that. Well, we just got that information a little bit ago that he signed with Minnesota.
Well, I'm curious, Glenn. Get in touch with Minnesota and see what they're saying to you now, and then get back to us. No, we'd love to hear about it.
Yeah, it would be interesting to hear what the schools are saying to those players. But look, it's an ongoing story. It's an ongoing story. It's one that we'll continue to monitor. Just let the game start. Let the game start. And we
let me ask you one more question about it.
One more.
Is there a difference for the kid that is looking to come back and that's all he wants to do is come back for the fifth year of the college football or basketball or whatever, to go for that fifth year, that has no intention of being professional? Like it's not the guy that signed with the Minnesota Vikings on May 1st to compete in OTAs and training camp and then gets waived. But the guy who's like ready to begin his career working as an accountant, but all of a sudden his ruling comes down. Does it matter between the two of those?
I don't know, Dave.
Oh, wow.
Actually, I don't. It takes a lot of thought.
Because it matters to me.
Carson Anderson, 97.1. Okay, there's something percolating right now in Detroit sports that we haven't heard yet. We are efforting it, and it will be on the air here shortly. Let's just say it's, I'll tell you exactly what it is. Apparently, there's some insider reporting on the Duren contract with the Pistons. So we'll play that.
The negotiations?
Yeah. In the meantime, I mentioned this and we got sidetracked.
Do you want to shout out Norm, by the way?
Yeah, let's do that. Our guy Norm that just called, who played football at Akron and then transferred to Grand Valley State.
Nice little career.
Was a hell of a running back.
Yeah, way to go, man.
Looked him up.
Yeah.
You got his stats in front of you?
I do, actually.
All right, tell us about Norm.
Last 2 years at Grand Valley, he averaged over 7 yards a carry.
Nice.
Had some monster games there when he was at Harrison. Almost 1,600 yards rushing as a senior with 20 touchdowns to go with 500 yards receiving.
Wow.
And 8 more touchdowns. So 28 touchdowns, over 2,000 yards of offense at Harrison his senior year. Nice job, Norm. And played defense.
At Harrison or at Grand Valley?
At Harrison. Had 51 tackles, 3 sacks, and 3 picks his senior year.
Wow.
Not bad.
All right. Good for him.
Yep. Anyway, there's the shout out.
Yeah. Well, what a way to go, Norm, and thanks for calling and providing your telling us your story. Okay, so Kang, there was a promotion yesterday, and you wanted to take advantage of said promotion and pulled the plug on the promotion. Yesterday, August 20th, 2026, was what?
It was a Spirit Day for Chipotle.
Spirit Day at Chipotle. And Spirit Day at Chipotle meant what?
So it meant that if you wore any kind of school shirt or sweatshirt or hoodie, you would get a buy one, get one free. And that's from elementary school to middle school to junior high to high school to college. If you just wore something that was whatever your elementary school was, Gator, what was your elementary school?
Lone Pine.
Sure. If you had Lone Pine Elementary shirt on, you got a buy one, get one free. If you had a Michigan State shirt on, because you went to Michigan State.
That's true.
You get a buy one, get one free. So buy one burrito bowl, get another one for free.
And what did you put on? What did you throw on?
I threw on my Macomb College t-shirt.
Nice. From,
back in the day. Still fits.
Does it still fit?
Yeah. Well, I put it on.
I've never seen you wear this Macomb College
really?
Shirt to work.
Oh, I've worn it before.
I think I've seen it.
Yeah, it's a gray shirt. It's pretty generic. Macomb Monarchs.
I want to see it.
Okay.
So anyway, you wore your Macomb College shirt, and you went to Chipotle to get the buy one, get one free.
So what happened was me and the family were out, and we were leaving my brother's house, and then we're going on the way home. It was around dinner time, and I thought, all right. I told my wife about the deal. I'm like, hey, there's a Chipotle up here. I'm going to see if I can get this deal, because you had to go in and you couldn't just order online, right? So you had to go in and do this. And it was kind of later in the day, so I knew promotions get people like myself. Mm-hmm. So I knew it might be busy, but it's later in the day, so I'm like, maybe it's died down. It should be okay. So I parked the car, and I'm like, I'll be right back, hopefully. And I left, closed the door, left, and turned around 30 seconds later, because as soon as I walked up to the Chipotle, the line was out the door.
Oh.
Like that, the door was open. You know how like that's how bad it gets where they hold whoever's standing at that door is holding the door open for everybody else. This thing's not moving. I see a bunch of kids, it looked like, with their college shirts and high school shirts on. And yeah, I said, this ain't happening today. It's okay.
How long do you think the line would have taken
you? I don't know. Chipotle's pretty good. I mean, we've all had Chipotle before, right?
Yeah.
Doug, I know you and your kids love it, right?
Yep.
It moves pretty quick. They're good at what they do. You know, I mean, it's an assembly line. As long as the person ordering isn't one of those like...
I don't...
Dude.
Can you tell me about the difference between the black beans and the pinto beans?
It's just... Yeah. Do you have any tofurkey left? No.
How many times do you rinse them? when was the guac last made?
So as long as you're
What is Al Pastor? What is that? What is it? What?
Can I get the regular Pastor? Do I need the L?
I saw some hacks online where I could just keep, or you just keep putting more and more toppings on it. Can you make like a triple burrito? You know what? I don't want to do that. I'll have a burrito bowl instead. Ah, white rice or brown rice?
Yeah, like it's one
these
of those.
These are big decisions.
Yeah.
But yeah, everyone should know before they get into line.
Oh, everyone that's been Chipotle at this point, I think they know their own order.
I feel like that person, if they start having a horn like that, the customers turn on you, and you just like your body surfed out of the building.
Okay, so you saw this line. What? How long was too long to wait?
Okay, so everyone's got that. Yeah, that limit, right?
If you figured out it was going to be.
Since I had the family in the car, it was going to be like 10 minutes. But without the family, I got a longer threshold. Like I can stand there, I don't care. But the wife and the kids, nah. It was like if it wasn't going to be like one of those, maybe like four people in front of me. 4 or 5, you know,
right.
But this was 20 deep, I think. So it just wasn't happening. What about you guys? Do you have a limit, Doug, when you go to Chipotle?
Yeah, I'm not standing in any line that's more than 4 people deep.
Yeah.
I'm like, forget this. Seriously, I pulled the plug.
4?
Yeah, dude, I pulled the plug. I'm not standing there.
You didn't take that.
No, if it's not quick, I'm not. You know what? I'll go to food fast AF.
Yeah, there you go.
Like you want to, Kang wants to start a grocery store called Fast AF where the whole point is to get in, get out, and everything is catered to the quickest possible grocery shopping you could possibly have. Like scanning the food as you put it in a basket type of deal. But to me, it's Fast AF. I just don't have the patience for it. It's a flaw, okay? And I'm not blaming anybody. It's me. What about you, Gator? How long would you wait in line for a buy one, get one burrito bowl?
It's probably going to be, I mean, if I know the time, if it's going to be 20 minutes, that's fine. If I can look ahead in the line and see.
20 minutes? Sorry, this is your answer.
I feel like I'm being really harshly judged right now. Yeah, I don't have kids, Doug. Nobody's waiting in the car for me. It's ready when it's ready.
Right.
And if I know that ahead of time, whatever. Okay. And, uh-huh. Oh, by the way, I would probably use the app. I do have the Chipotle app.
Yeah, I know, but you can't in this promotion.
Yeah, it'd be tough. So if I saw the line was out the door, I wouldn't do it. But I can gauge a line. If there's like 20 people, I know it moves relatively quickly. It's fine. Depends how hungry I am. Also, what else is in the area? And if I made the decision to walk into Chipotle, have I turned down things that are in that same strip mall area? Or is this like, this is it? If I'm if this is an outpost, then I'm going to stay there longer.
One other story.
20 minutes?
20. I can't imagine.
I don't know, Dave.
I can't possibly imagine going, this line's only 20 minutes long. I'll stand in it.
I mean,
I'm not sure I'd stand in line for 20 minutes for a free burrito.
Why not? Your time's just too precious to you?
No, I am too impatient. This isn't it. I mean, like I said, it's a personal flaw. But I can't imagine.
So you won't give in to the crave. You'll end up going somewhere else and get something of lesser interest just because you can get quicker.
Well, I don't want not necessarily lesser interest, equal interest, but I'll pay for it. Yeah.
Doesn't sound like it. Doesn't sound like it'd be equal interest.
Well, hold on. Chipotle is not the be all and end all of fast casual.
And I know it's not even your fast casual.
Boston Market. That's a Qdoba guy. No, but he also loves Boston Market.
I do love Boston Market.
But if the line were out the door for Boston Market, you're not waiting.
I might wait 5 minutes at Boston Market.
Love.
That's the sign of my love.
Says someone who's never been in a lunch rush, I guess, with the crash at lunchtime. Because we have jobs.
Well, I'm talking about Doug circa 2026. There was probably a version of Doug that would stand in line for a free burrito for hours. Dude,
we're getting text.
Yeah.
My girl is a district manager for Qdoba. When they have buy one, get one days, those are the worst. Her stressing out about it 3 weeks ahead of time before they come and blow your mind. My best friend spent an hour in line at Chipotle yesterday. Unreal.
Wow.
Yeah, this is people
we're,
do it, man.
We're in his elementary school shirt. Go Pioneers.
I have the sound, by the way, Doug.
Oh, from... About the Durin contract?
Yes.
All right, let's play that next. Carson Anderson, 97.1. Really, 20 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, look, if you'd have to have the time to do it. I mean, if I'm in a rush, I'm not going to wait 20 minutes. But if I'm not in any kind of hurry, you know, if it's casual, after work today, if I felt like, oh, let's go try to get BOGO Burrito Bowl or BOGO Burritos. And I get there and I know it's going to be a 20-minute line. That's fine. You know, that still gives me plenty of time to get home before the dog is... You know, getting really impatient to go outside. I got time. You know, but if there's a time restraint, then no, I'm not going to wait that long. But I'm way more patient than you, obviously.
There's no doubt about it.
I think most everybody is way more patient than you.
There are only 16 Boston Market locations open nationwide. And if I saw one, I would be so fired up.
But you'd only wait 5 minutes.
5 minutes max.
That's crazy.
That's unbelievable.
That's the craziest thing
I've
ever heard. I mean, that is absolutely somebody who's been talking about Boston Market since we've been doing the show and knowing that they're down to the last 20 stores.
16,
and they're probably all on the East Coast. And you're like, oh, I finally saw one. It's like, you know, an oasis.
Yeah, Gator. Like, he's like, oh my God, is that this Boston is that Market?
You know, this golden aura around it walks in. All right, here we go. Okay, sir, it's going to be about a 6 minute wait. I'll see you later.
Right, exactly.
What? Oh, it smells so good. That smells so good. Should I wait the extra 2 minutes? No, can't do it. I got to go. I'm sorry. I got to find something else.
Sir, it's going to be about 6 minutes for the next rotisserie chicken. I'm out.
Yeah.
I can't wait that long.
Are you sure you don't mean five?
Well, there's a Del Taco right up the street, so I'll probably go there.
Next time I'm in Duncanville, Texas. I'll see how long the wait is at Boston Market. Patrick on a cell. Hi, Patrick.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
What's up?
Look, I'm going to tell you, if you ever see me and my four daughters who are under 13 in line at Chipotle, you better turn around and go away because each of my kids wants to order one by one, and they take forever.
Oh, God. Do you apologize to the people behind you in line by chance?
You know, I used to be real self-conscious about it and whatnot, but I just started praying, and it is what it is now. But it used to bother me a lot.
Did you say you started praying?
Yeah, hey, sometimes you need the Lord's help. You know, that's why the Chipotle line is big.
Hey, let me tell you something.
Really, people behind you that are doing more praying than you are.
As a parent, no truer words have been spoken than sometimes you do need the Lord's help. Yeah.
But if it's a free promo day, like on 7-Eleven when they get free Slurpees or whatever, I'm not even going. It's a zoo, and I don't even need it. I'd rather just come back the next day and pay full price.
There you go. All right, Patrick, thank you. All right.
Really feel for the people behind him.
Yeah.
He would not be allowed at Fast AF.
No.
No. No. No kids at Fast AF.
No, there are no Too kids slow. At F.
Yeah.
You have to show your ID. Yeah. In fact, I'm not even sure you can get into Fast AF before you're 30 years old.
And I'm not sure. Once you're past a certain age, you're allowed to shop there.
That's
either.
A great point.
That's true, too.
Only people between the age of 30 and 45 can shop here. That is it.
And males.
Yes. 100%.
We have a no return policy, too.
Oh, yeah.
No returns, no exchanges. I'm sorry.
Excuse me. I bought this yesterday, and it's... Yeah, sorry, we don't do returns.
All sales are final. Yeah. Dude, we were moving my son into college Wednesday. We had to go to Target. My wife stops at every end cap. Every.
Well, yeah, that's where the good stuff is. You get the good bargains.
I mean...
We started tumblers for like 50 cents.
We had to leave Target and go to Walmart. And before we walked in, my son and I were like, we're here for one thing. Yeah, we're establishing the rules now. Nope. One thing and one thing only.
Good luck with that.
So funny. All right, here we go. We haven't heard this. What is this?
Good transition.
What are we about to play here?
What the hell is going on?
This is from the Hoops Collective, NBA writer Tim McMahon and our very own Vince Goodwill, our former very own intern of Vince Goodwill. We're talking about the Pistons and the over-under and whether they'll achieve that. And then Tim McMahon starts talking about the Jalen Duren negotiations and how they affect the Pistons' over-under win total.
All right, so a couple things there that, A, I'm not sure I believe him when he says the Pistons obviously think Asar Thompson's their second-best player. I don't know if I buy that. And the other part is, when you say words like nasty and ugly with these negotiations, I haven't heard anybody else describe it as that.
That's why this is interesting.
Which is weird. And okay, if you're going to say words like that, like you've got the inside knowledge, then you got to spill a little bit. What do you mean it's nasty? What do you mean it's ugly? Like, just pontificate on it a little bit. Like, as if to say, well, you know, they are so far apart on the numbers, and the Pistons are just undressing Jalen Duren for what happened in the postseason and how he's not worth the money he's... But there's none of that. It's just, oh, it's nasty. It's ugly. And, yeah, what?
Okay, so you're in Jalen Duren's camp. And for the purposes of the conversation, if what Tim McMahon there said is true, that the Pistons think Asar Thompson's their second-best player, and Asar Thompson last year was first team all NBA defense, led the league in steals. Jalen Duren, however, was the all-star and third team all NBA. Would Duren's camp have a legitimate argument? He's a good player. I'm your second best player. He didn't get named all NBA third team. He didn't make the all-star team. We want to be treated as and compensated as the second highest paid player on this team.
If things are truly ugly between the two parties, if you really feel like you're that far away or whatever, and you're being disrespected by the Pistons, if Jalen Duren feels, then Jalen Duren should just agree to what's been offered for 1 year and bank on himself and become a free agent at the end of the season and get out of there. Because it's clear the Pistons aren't doing any sign and trade because no other teams are offering it. So if that's the case, Duren's got to bet on himself. Now, he could bet on himself in another way, too, which is simply accept whatever four-year deal the Pistons are offering up. And the thing is, we don't know what the money is. Mm-hmm. I don't know if the Pistons are offering a four-year, $120 million deal, and he's looking for, you know, the max deal out of that. I don't know. But, you know, the fact that he is still so young and could agree to a four-year extension that gives him life-changing money and then comes out of that as a 26-year-old,
right,
unrestricted free agent in the NBA, which if you're banking on yourself and you think you're a damn good player, guess what you're going to get 4 years from now? It'll be another 4 or 5 year contract then at that point might pay you in excess of $50 million a year.
This would be you from a perspective of advising Jalen Brown.
Yeah.
Kang, what do you make of this story?
I mean, you don't like to hear something like this, you know, because this is like a day after the Hollinger report where he speculated on his own. You know, he didn't have any inside information, but how these things normally work out is the player and the team comes to an agreement and he'll be in camp. But if it's been awfully nasty, as McMahon quote said, you just don't want the player's feelings to affect his play on the court, right? And in the end, I do think cooler heads will prevail. And I think Trajan Langdon, you guys and we've talked to him. I don't think he's a guy that comes in and MFs you at
no,
table.
No, I can't,
you
know what I mean? I can't like, see it. You know, that's a good point.
Right? He's not going to be like, they might present their case, but I don't think this is like arbitration where you're just knocking down a guy and say, this is what you're worth. I don't think that's how it went. I think Jalen Duren's camp had a value on his player or himself, and they didn't get there. And they're probably a little butthurt and maybe saving a little face with their client as well. With that being said, I do think they come to an agreement. I don't know how that's why I don't think it's nasty. I can't believe that would be nasty. Maybe from one side it could be nasty. I just don't see it coming from the Pistons side. All along, they've said the right things. They've said we wanted him. They allowed him to explore a signing trade, but telling everyone we don't intend to trade him. Everything they've said has been like, we want this guy back. And then under breath, like, at our price, right? Like, it's kind of like yeah. At a certain price. And so I think in the end, they'll come to an agreement. Jalen Duren may not be completely happy, but you're right, Gator. He's so young. There's another contract to play for. It ain't over yet, man. And in the meantime, you get stuck with what, $30-35 million a year? Air quotes. I mean, that's not bad.
No, it certainly ain't chump change. And again, we haven't heard from either side.
No.
Nobody's leaked anything, but this reporter's going to come out and say that it's been, quote, nasty and ugly. I mean,
look, it's one guy and it's one report, and I'll take it for what it's worth, which is one person's reporting. Maybe we'll hear more of this moving forward, but it's not going smooth. I would say that. And the reason I'd say that is he hasn't signed yet. Like, everybody else is signed. Is there anybody else unsigned in the same, like?
He's the biggest notable free agent that still hasn't signed his tender or, you know, any contract.
DeRozan, I think, is another one.
Are they waiting? Do they still think somebody's going to sign him to an offer sheet? Or is this just F you, we're not talking, we're mad?
I think any team wants to sign an offer sheet, you're welcome to. And it just hasn't happened. So I think that's maybe the Pistons' case to Duren is like, we understand it. You want it, but the market is speaking to you.
Yeah.
The market is speaking loudly, right? You thought you had, maybe the Lakers were interested or Sacramento or whatever other teams there were, and they really weren't. Not to what you wanted, what you thought you could get. And now you're understanding where the Pistons' position is, because clearly the Pistons have made an offer to Jalen Duren. That's probably in line with the other teams did. And now he's kind of stuck. And I don't know if his agent led him astray or if his own ego has gotten in the way or if this is just completely overblown. And it's just like, no, we're cool. We'll deal with it. We'll see what happens the rest of the summer and I'll sign a deal with you at some point. But right now we're just living our lives here.
All right. Have two interesting facts. I guess you can be the judge of that. One interesting fact is a Lions fact. The other interesting fact is a Tiger fact. We'll get to those coming up today at 12:46. You're on Carson Anderson on 97.1. Regarding Fast AF, Scott writes in, one of the greatest show ideas ever. Meanwhile, my maximum wait time for a nice restaurant, 45 minutes. For fast food, 10 minutes. And you really did jump all over Gator there.
You really did.
I just was shocked. It was honestly, it wasn't anything other than...
I didn't say like an hour. It was 20 minutes.
Yeah, I know. Gator would have waited in line yesterday, buy one, get one at Chipotle for 20 minutes, and I...
Well, what happens to you when you go to like a sporting event as a fan and you got to wait in line for a beer? You bail?
I struggle mightily. Yeah.
He's outside his comfort zone at that point.
I don't drink. Unnamed texter, at this point, Jalen Duren is a liability. Nobody is telling him to take pennies on the dollar, but he's showing no willingness to be a team guy. If the Pistons cater to his whims, it would be a huge mistake. The Pistons 10 years ago would sign him to keep the butts in the seats. This team has real goals and can't let guys like this derail those goals. I don't want to impugn him. I am glad, though, that the Pistons are standing their ground.
Well, again, we don't know what's happened with the negotiations. Nobody has said anything. So I think it's unfair to label him as a malcontent or anything else, or the Pistons as being, you know, miserly or whatever you want to say. We don't know. We don't know anything. And until a deal is struck or a trade is made, And people can get in front of cameras and microphones, it's just going to have to be like wait and see.
Okay. This is actually going to be a three-pack of interesting questions. Okay. One Lions, one Tigers, one Red Wing. We can like spin the wheel and see where it lands, or you can just choose one. What do you want to start
with? One bourbon, one scotch, one beer. Let's go. Spin the wheel.
Okay. We don't have a wheel.
Just make it up, Doug. Okay. Clear the mind.
And it lands on the Red Wing.
Okay, here we go.
It's from a Lane James, St. James story today in the Free Press. Red Wings have gone more than a month without a GM, but the team is committed to taking its time to make the right call. From the beginning, we were never going to let the process or the timeline dictate the decision on whom to hire. A person with knowledge of the Detroit Red Wings organizational thinking told the Detroit Free Press. This is a source, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Chris challenged everyone, let's go find the next leader that's going to bring a Stanley Cup to Detroit from whatever level they are at in the organization that they are with right now. Let's go find that person. And so we started with over 100 names. That is the quote.
Okay.
100 names?
Well, you get your list. I don't know if you interview 100 people, but you get a list and then you can pare it down and say, okay, what's realistic here? What isn't realistic?
That's one of those classic, you know, we're going to brainstorm now. No, there's no bad ideas. Everybody shout out a name. Could you imagine how deep that list would get to be 100 names? That's
it. Well, they're working with a search firm. So the search firm will then spit out, okay, whatever the parameters are. If they come out and say, we want 50 to 100 names, or we want 1,000 names, whatever it is. And here you go. Here's your list. And based on your criteria and, you know, here are the recommendations we can make. We think these are your top 10, whatever it is that they come out with. It's just an initial list. And then you can either, if you're going to do your true due diligence, you interview each and every one of them, which I find that hard to believe. You know, there are probably some easy ones you can scratch off. Like, oh, this guy's not. No. They're not going to lose this guy or this guy or this guy. And this guy just has no chance, whatever.
I mean, I guess when I saw 100 names, it made me think of Wilt Chamberlain.
100, yeah.
No, 20,000.
But that's a different number.
Yeah.
For different reasons.
Which is one of my favorite all-time, over-the-top exaggeration boasts of all time. Do you know how many days Wilt Chamberlain was alive?
Here we go. I don't know. It was 65 when he died, something like that, and... Yeah, do you do the math on how many days
that is? He was alive for 23,062 days, and he claimed to have slept with 20,000 different women.
Well, I mean, it was the 60s and 70s during his heyday. Orgies with Wilt.
Or math.
Yeah, I mean, that was before G. Goodshue wouldn't do it. He was just doing it.
Yeah. Mathematically impossible.
It's not mathematically impossible.
He would have to have like slept with three women a day for the second half of his life.
Yeah, well, Will got around.
He didn't do that. All right, spin the wheel again, Gator. It lands on the Lions. Gator, do you know? This wheel is the greatest thing.
That's amazing it didn't land on the Wings again.
What are the odds?
Yeah, what are the odds?
Imagine what the odds are next. Do I have to spin it for the next one? It's only a three question. All right, what we got?
Do you know how many years the Lions played in the Silverdome?
They played from, I'm going to say, 1977 to 2001. So 25 seasons.
Do you know what this is at Ford Field?
This is the 25th year?
Yes, you're close. There were 27 seasons in the Silverdome. This is the 25th year of Ford Field. I can't believe that they've been in Ford Field for almost as long as they've been in the Silverdome. That blows my mind.
No, I get it. I get it. I've had one of those moments myself when I realized how many years I've been living in my current house.
Yeah.
And then realized that it's now a few years past my first house. Like, wow, I did not think I was here that long.
You know what we don't hear? Because by the time the Silverdome had reached its 25th year, the Ford Field plans were underway.
Yeah.
There are no rumblings that the Lions are even considering a new home.
Nor should they. It's a great stadium.
There absolutely shouldn't be, which speaks to two things. One, they built the thing right.
Mm-hmm.
They really did a good job of Ford Field. I mean, you can make an argument that you don't like this or you don't like that, but there's something to be said for a stadium has that kind of staying power, and there's no rumblings of replacing it. Plus, we've gotten to host a Super Bowl, Final Fours, Frozen Fours, big concerts. They did a really nice job, and it's just hard for me to believe that we're moving in on the same amount of time at Ford Field that we were in the Silverdome.
And they keep it updated. And if they're... have to be some renovations down the road, they'll do them. It's a great piece of real estate. They've got all those stadiums right downtown within a couple blocks of each other. I'm a big, big fan of Ford Field.
All right. Spin the wheel one more time, Scott. It lands on the Tigers.
What? Who knew?
We were really lucky we didn't get any repeats.
Yeah.
ESPN Baseball updated their prospect rankings. How many players do you think the Tigers had?
In the top 100?
I'm going to tell you that their lowest ranked guy was 60.
60, okay. So you're going to have, is Max Clark still listed on there?
He still is.
Okay, so Max is still going to be on there. Obviously, McGonagall is not. So it'd be Max, Rainer, Briseño. Zaire Hope is going to be on there. That's four. The rookie, the kid they just drafted, Fluky, I think would be five. Is River Ryan going to be on there for six? I'll go six.
The correct answer is five.
Okay.
And it is Clark at five, Bryce Rainer now at 23.
Oh, five straight games of the home run at West Michigan.
What did he do last night?
He had the night off.
At 37 is Zaire Hope, who isn't exactly tearing it up, but he just got here. At 51 is River Ryan, and at 60 is Josue Briseño. That's a pretty, there's still.
So Fluky not there.
No, but as far as introducing players, the two of the guys they got back are in the top 51, and Briseño and Rainer are fastly rising.
Yes. Yeah. Briseño has not gotten off to a great start at Toledo, but he was mashing it at Erie. He had to get his chance. And I think he's only been at Toledo for maybe 2 weeks at most. And Zaire Hope, since the trade, has not played well and not hit well. But he had a breakout game two games ago when he had like four hits and a home run and four RBIs or something. So he'll be fine. I have confidence he's going to be fine. I like this crop of players. I really like Bryce Rainer. I have for ever since they drafted him. He looks different standing in a batter's box. He didn't look like an 18, 19-year-old kid there. He looked like he was ready for business. He's got the frame, and he's got the ability.
I'm going to say it's over for this team competing at a high level. You tell me I'm right, I'm wrong. We'll get to that today at 102. It is Carson Anderson here on 97.1.